Let's pray before we get started. Father, first of all, I want to lift up Arlene. I just pray your blessing on her and protection for her, and that she would continue to get good care at Kaiser over in Woodland Hills. And bless our time now in the Word. May it encourage people. May it cause people to look at the things maybe they've not put off in the Christian walk that needs to be eliminated. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're in Colossians chapter 3. If you'll stand for the reading of God's word, please. Chapter 3, starting verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger and wrath and malice and slander and abuse of speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed in a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Thessalian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all in all. So as to those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart full of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Please be seated. Several years ago, when I was pastoring in Wisconsin, I got a call from a friend of mine from another town, and things weren't going well in the church. The music leader was having an affair with someone in the church. They later found out he was covering up a pattern of sin. The good news is that both parties repented and they reconciled to their spouses. On the following Sunday, the pastor had a time of open confession. We put a mic there and people just came and confessed sins. Those who came forward confessed to the elders. Out of 300 attendees there, how many do you think came forward? 68. They confessed homosexuality and adultery and inappropriate anger and gossip. In Albuquerque, when we were there, in our church there, we were going through a really tough time, and we had a time of open confession where a church of 100, about 10 came forward. If we had a time of open confession here at Faith Bible Church, how many think would come forward? How many have failed to put off the habits of the old self and put on the new self? In Colossians, as in Romans and Ephesians, Paul expects his readers to live out the sound doctrine that he taught. Theology is always followed by a call to live it out in Paul's writings. The church in the United States needs to rethink how they do church. They need to preach repentance. They need to preach the doctrine of hell. They need to do church discipline. The truth will always offend someone. Paul lays out some heavy theology in chapters 1 and 2. And now he throws down a challenge. For Paul, doctrine demands duty. Putting on, putting off. Why it's necessary, 5 through 7. Verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil, desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. So when you see therefore in the beginning, you always say, what's it there for? So let's read the first four verses. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Because these things are true, you need to live, we need to live in a certain way. There can be no true conversion without a changed life, without a new morality. Matthew 5:29, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. That, of course, is not literal, but figuratively, and unfortunately, many years ago in my hometown, somebody did that, literally. Years ago in England, if a pickpocket was caught and convicted, they'd chop off his right hand. And if he was caught again, they'd chop off his left hand. One pickpocket lost both hands but continued to steal. How did he do that? They said, according to the story, with his teeth. But physical dismemberment can't change the heart. Consider the members of your earthly body dead to immorality. Get rid of the evil. Get rid of its sinful practices. Immorality, our word is porneia in the Greek. Sex outside of marriage, all sex outside of marriage. It's where we get our word pornography from. Being sexually pure was a new virtue that Christianity brought into the world. Paul's instructions were radical in this pagan culture. And I guess we'd have to say it's pretty radical today. One study found that 80% of self-identified Christian young adults have engaged in premarital sex. Non-Christians, the percentage was 88%. It shouldn't be that close. Impurity, moral uncleanliness, including sinful thoughts, where it all begins, and your speaking, your speech, lust or passion. Romans 1:26, the same word is used for the sinful lusts of homosexuality. It's the emotion that leads to sexual excess. You must put these things to death. Put them off. Put them away. Why don't pastors deal with this? Why don't they preach it? Why don't they keep their members accountable? Some pastors say that if you are two consenting adults, it's not sin. It's only connected to prostitution and exploiting someone. But many just don't want to deal with it. They don't want to rock the boat. And I would say, how irresponsible. Sex outside of marriage is destructive. It ruins your testimony. How many athletes have we seen over the last few years who just go, I wouldn't be anywhere without my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and then you find out his girlfriend's pregnant. Just ruins your testimony. It's a horrible example. It ruins relationships. Five people vulnerable to sexual sin. Number one, the person who thinks he could never be guilty of it. That's pride. To the person going through a tough time and they're looking for closeness and comfort. Number three, those who have seen that pattern of sin in their family. If you've read anything about Joseph Kennedy, the old man, JFK's father, he started that and all the boys seem to have followed right along. Number four, the person who regularly finds themselves alone with the opposite sex and there's no boundaries. Joseph in Genesis, he had boundaries. King David didn't have boundaries, or at least part of the time. Billy Graham knew several evangelists that had fallen into immorality while separated from their wives when they were traveling to do crusades. So he would never meet with or travel with a woman who was not his wife. Number five, the person who doesn't have a regular satisfying sexual relationship with their spouse. And we see in 1 Corinthians 7, 2 through 4, your body's not your own. You can only take a break for prayer. There's no such thing as innocent flirting if you're married. There are pastors who have lost their jobs when guilty of just emotional adultery. Before I got married, I had a lot of women in our church in the Pacific Palisades who I would call friends. I did things with. We'd go to a movie or have dinner or something. But when I married Lisa, I no longer spent time alone with them. Lisa was my confidant. She was my closest friend. So how do you match up to that list? Number one, do you flirt with someone who is not your wife? Do you think it could never happen to you? Are you hurting and you're looking for comfort in all the wrong places? Do you have a history of sexual sin in your family? And do you find yourself alone with the opposite sex and you just don't have boundaries? Guard yourself. Remember, you've been bought with a price, the price of Christ's blood. Honor him with your mind and your body. We need to seek to please God in every area. You know that verse in Job chapter 31, verse 1? I have made a covenant with my eyes. How could I gaze upon a virgin? Just like, you know, it's closely related to the 10th commandment. Not coveting your neighbor's wife. Be careful with your internet viewing. Set up guardrails. There's things like covenant eyes that, you know, if you watch something you shouldn't, then that goes. There's a message that goes to your accountability partner. Watch your TV viewing, your movies, your reading. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever, and we want to live forever with God, not spend eternity in hell. Do not revert to worldly attitudes or values that are opposed to God. If you love the world, what does that say about you? According to the Bible, the love of the Father is not in you. What's the lust of the eyes? The sinful desires that are activated by what we see. And men seem to be, you know, more vulnerable to this. Proverbs 27:20. Death and destruction never are satisfied, and neither are human eyes, it says. The eyes wake up lust. There are a lot of things we have to put off. Sin that needs to die, sinful patterns that need to die. Sensuality and materialism to start with. Number two, laying aside the old self. 8 through 11. And sometimes that's hard to do. I understand that. If you stay, well, say you become a Christian, you stay in the same area, you're around the same people, there's always reminders of your sinful past. I came to Christ in September of 1980, went back to Western Pennsylvania. I was 26. Hung out with my old partners in crime. That didn't go well. But as I continued to mature, I could go back home and have boundaries. Verse 8. But now you also put them all aside, anger with malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. God says put those things aside. You must rid yourself of those vices. In salvation, God chooses you. He grants you faith and repentance. In sanctification, we are saved. Once we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, to convict us of sin and righteousness. Romans 6:14. for sin shall not be master over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. As much as the law of Moses was a gracious gift to Israel, it did not provide the power to conquer sin. The new covenant with God's grace provides that power. You know what the fruits of the Spirit are? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All the things you need to conquer sin and walk in holiness. Walk in the Spirit and you will what? Not carry out the deeds of the flesh. Anger here, orge, a deep-seated anger. You know angry people. They're always angry. When used of God, it displays itself in eternal punishment. Thumos is wrath, uncontrolled rage. And for us, you know, people who throw temper tantrums or outbursts of anger. Anger is kept in, wrath is let out. Malice involves animosity towards someone or being a malicious gossip. It's said that Jonathan Edwards, the third president of Princeton and America's greatest thinker, had a daughter with an ungovernable temper. As is often the case, the problem was not known by the outside world, and a young man fell in love with the daughter and he wanted to marry her. So he went to Jonathan Edwards, her father, and Jonathan said, "You can't have her." It was the abrupt answer to this man. "But I love her," the young man replied. "You can't have her," said Edwards. "But she loves me," replied the young man. Again, Edwards says, "You can't have her." "Why?" asked the man. "Because she's not worthy of you." "But," he asked, "she is a Christian, isn't she?" "Yes, she is a Christian, but the grace of God can live with some people with whom no one else could ever live." Just because the Holy Spirit can abide with someone doesn't mean everybody can. Put off slander, assassinating someone's character, often with disinformation. I don't know what to believe. When you see it, when you're on the internet, and especially when you're on Facebook, there's such stupid things written. Although if I didn't have connections with people I would never have connections with, if I wasn't on Facebook, I'd get rid of it. Verse 9, "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices." Do not lie to one another. As a teenager, how did we get away with all the sinful things we did? We lied. We became good at it. And parents, my parents were like this. They wanted to believe that we wouldn't lie to them. How naive. Our rule, Lisa and I, as we were raising our three kids, was guilty until proven innocent. You know, if somebody had said something, we'd investigate it. We as Christians should be able to trust one another. In my career as a pastor for 34 years, one of the things that really hurt me or baffled me, number one, when people took my failures, and there were many, and were eager to share them with people. Or two, when they made things up about me or twisted the truth. And these were people in the church. So the question is, are you honest? Can we trust what you say to be the gospel truth? 9 and 10. "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and put on the new self, who is being renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, put on the new self, being reminded that we are made in his image." All authentic believers have a new self. They're sensitive to the Spirit and to the Word of God to some degree, depending on their maturity. This knowledge of God that you now possess doesn't allow you anymore to look at sin with indifference. You see it as an offense to God and something you want to put off. You're being constantly renewed as you grow in the knowledge of God. You know, and I think you'll agree, right? If you're a Christian, sin doesn't feel right anymore. It doesn't feel right. You can't continue in it. Verse 11, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew and circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. The final reason for putting off sin, the new self brings a radical change in your relationships. We put away barriers to human relationships. And for young people, if you have young people here today, once you become a Christian, there is no one you're too cool for. No one you're too cool for. If we were prejudiced toward another race before we came to Christ, can't do that anymore. You have to see bigotry as ignorance. Yellow, black, brown, red, white, we're equal in God's eyes. And so if we're equal in His eyes, we need to be equal in each other's eyes. Years ago, there were white churches that wouldn't allow anybody with whites to attend. And there may be some of those still today in the South. I don't know. But interracial marriage was called unbiblical. Show me that. It's not in the Bible. That's not there. Those ideas were born out of a climate of hate and stupidity. 1 John says, if you hate your brother, the truth is not in you. Put off the ignorance of the old self and be renewed in your thinking. Hold on to the wisdom we receive from His Word. Remember, in Proverbs, the fool is the person who rejects the knowledge of God. The wise man is the one who humbly submits to it. If you've been raised up with Christ and you are a born-again believer, keep seeking the things above, and if you do, you will deal with your sin. You will never be satisfied to live in sin anymore if you're a Christian. What's Hebrews say? Sin is enjoyable for a season. But if you're a Christian and you've been living that way and you go to bed at night, you lay in bed, you have a sick feeling in your gut. You'll correctly doubt your salvation and long to get right with God. Now you might ask, why would I say you rightly doubt your salvation in that situation? What the Bible says. 1 John 3:9, no one who is born of God practices sin because his God's seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God, unlike the children of the devil. The children of God do not go on sinning because the Holy Spirit indwells in them. Now, we're all going to stumble in some way. But we will confess and repent and not live in a sinful lifestyle. Number 3, putting on the new self, 12 through 14. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So those who have been chosen of God, those who are God's elect. Matthew 24:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Talking about the general call that goes out to everyone and the effectual call that goes out to the elect. Matthew 11:27. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Acts 13:48, all who were appointed to eternal life believed. Christ told his disciples, I chose you, you didn't choose me. Because of total depravity, because of our inability to choose God until he opens our mind and our hearts to the truth. God sovereignly chose each one of them in Christ before the foundation of the world. And that meant then they were going to be holy, separated unto God. They're loved because God marked them out for salvation. So because of that love and choosing, put on a heart of compassion. Put on or clothe yourself. The ancient world was merciless. Merciless. The maimed and the mentally challenged, they were discarded. Christianity brought compassion. One writer said, everything that was done for the elderly, the sick, the weak in body or mind, the animal, the child, women, have been done under the inspiration of Christianity. Paul is telling us if we are new creatures in Christ, we must be compassionate. Kindness and gentleness are fruits of the Spirit. We support a ministry in Ghana, in Africa, and the people who started, Brian and Debbie McIntyre, we knew them in Wisconsin. He was a pastor in an IFCA. I met him at an IFCA conference. But they started this ministry, started an orphanage. And what they did at first was these babies who had AIDS, because their parents had AIDS, and they passed that along to them and couldn't take care of them. So they would bring them to this orphanage. And what Debbie and Brian did, along with those who helped them, was just hold those babies and comfort them in their dying days. And that ministry then has expanded into a church and a school. Christian surgeons sacrifice lucrative practices in the United States to fix cleft palates and to do procedures which allow young women to go back into society. Why do they do that? Because they love Christ. And the Holy Spirit is working through them, convicting them to use their gifts, their talents for him. Put on humility, a desire to serve without being acknowledged, and that speaks to those people we just talked about. Remember Numbers 12:3, Moses was the most meek or humble man on the earth, yet he was very decisive. He wasn't afraid to fight, but he waited until that was appropriate. Meekness is restrained strength. Who is more meek than our Lord? Patience, literally wrath that is put far away. It enables us to put up with difficult people. Do you know any difficult people? Hey, is there in your family or difficult Christians? When we don't have patience, why is that? We're not yielded to the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking of a guy in one of the churches that we were in who was a thorn in my flesh. And while I had to confront him several times, I did my best to listen to his concerns, most of which were without merit. He was a strange guy. But we treated him with respect because that's what Christ would want us to do. Verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, who has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you also should do that. Bearing with one another. I like 1 Corinthians 6:7. When we are reviled, abusive speech thrown at you. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. Whereas the Corinthians were taking each other to court. I'm not sure I always follow that verse, but I should. Forgiving each other instead of suing one another, as some were doing, and instead of letting the church handle it. Have we been forgiven much? Oh my goodness. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. I would say before I became a Christian, I didn't forgive easily. But as Christians, we are not to hold on to a grudge. When someone repents and asks for forgiveness, you do it. Think of all God forgave through His Son. But in my experience, in the churches that we've been in, a lot of people are bitter, looking for revenge through their words or silence or gossip. You need to put that away. You need to put that away. Here the word translated forgive is charizomai, to be gracious or to forgive, emphasizing it's an act of grace to forgive, whether you want to or not. But the primary word in the Greek to forgive is aphiemi, to release, to send away. Like God forgives our sins as far as the east is from the west. He puts it in the cleft of His back. God forgiving us as an act of His grace, giving us what we don't deserve. And we might say that about some people who harm us. We may say they don't deserve our forgiveness. God wants more from us. If you want to be like Christ, you grow in humility. And that allows you to be gracious and kind and compassionate and forgiving. Verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Love is the foundation for the other virtues. Love is the first of the fruits of the Spirit. It's a divine sacrificial love. It's not about feelings. It's about doing. The rest, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all flow out of that love. Ephesians 4:16. Every Christian doing its part causes the growth of the body for the building itself up in love. That's when there's unity. That's when you have a healthy church. So what did we learn today? What did we learn today? Putting off and putting on is a daily effort. It's a daily effort. As Christians, we can't be indifferent to sin. We need to hate it, as God hates it. And His Word makes it clear, pretty clear, what those things are we're to hate. And what virtues we must put on. How do we apply it? Know the Word. No substitute for that. Know the Word. Pray for discernment. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." That should be our prayer every day. To close, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 5. "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God." Let this be our goal this week and beyond, every day, seeking to know God in a deeper way and living out what we know so that we please Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for our salvation. We thank You for the Holy Spirit that convicts us of righteousness and truth and sin, and causes us to respond in repentance and faith. Help us to learn to love You more. Christ said, if you love Me, you obey My commandments. So let us not have pet sins that we just say, it's not that bad. I can hold on to this. I don't have to put this off. Yes, you do. And that's part of the sanctification process. You know, to continue to work at drawing closer to Christ. So that when we speak about Christ to the world, when we say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, our life won't do anything to diminish that witness. So, Father, thanks for today. Help us to live these things out. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.